thank the Lord for the Lord this morning. And I'm glad that he is on my side, but he's on your side too. He wants to save those who are not saved, and he wants to bless those who are saved. And so thank God for Jesus this morning, and thank you for being here. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs. And the Lord has given us some cool weather here lately. That means it's fall time, and I'm so thankful for fall time. Not only does it mean fall time, but fall ball. And we won't get into sports this morning, but the Braves are in the playoffs, and we're so excited about that. And we'll talk about that after church, the non-spiritual. Georgia, I don't like football, so. But Georgia's playing, whatever. We're just so thankful for the Lord and the change of seasons. It's really symbolic to our lives. We go through different seasons and different times, and God changes things, and we think that we're always going to be in the valley. Then out of nowhere, the Lord changes the course of our walk, and then we're on the mountaintop. And days that are good and days that are fulfilling and purposeful. So we just thank the Lord this morning for all of his goodness. I want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. If you're visiting Calvary Baptist Church, you are our special and honored guest. And got some who visited last week are back with us, some friends from Grace. And so good to have you. Good to see Calvary Children's Home back with us. What a blessing that is. And been a little while, and had some sick there, had some sick here, and between vacations and appointments and everything like that, everybody's just been so busy, but it's so good to have the home back with us this morning. I do want to mention a couple things before we pray. Please remember Brother David Barker. He is at home sick this morning, and he tried to be a hero and come on to church, but I told him to turn around and go home and get to feeling better. So, Brother David, if you're watching, we love you and hope you feel better. Get better soon. Also, Chuck and Cece are not doing that well. They've had this junk that a lot of people have had, which I've had. And my wife, Christy's had. She wasn't here last week due to her sickness. She's back today. And so thankful for that. But do remember the Prestridges in your prayers. Remember Miss Dolores Palmer, and she continues to recover from her surgery. Seems like a long time ago, but she just had a slow go at it. But she is getting better. So let's remember her and Brother Brother Leonard in our prayers. Many others on our prayer list. I just encourage you to pick up a bulletin, if you would, to my right down front or in the foyer there in the back. A few reminders this morning. The 22nd will be Youth Sunday. As of right now, that's on the schedule, and that means morning and night will be our young people participating in the worship services, leading things. We're so excited about that. Brother Brian bringing the message in the morning, Brother CJ in the evening. So we're looking forward to that, and come and support our young people. They really put their heart and souls into it, and we're so grateful for them. Church yard sale coming up. Remember that as well. I believe that's on the 21st, on Saturday. And again, this has a couple of different reasons why we're doing this: to raise money, to continue upgrading, having projects here at the church. This hallway won't have it painted, and foyer, and work our way into sanctuary eventually. But also, it's an outreach. We want to reach our community and show love to them. But also, we'll be cooking out as well. So it's going to be a great time to sell some things, contribute to the church, reach the lost, and eat some food. And so that's a great deal. We'll have a trunk retreat on the 29th. That is the very last Sunday of the month. We typically go downstairs in the fellowship hall and have dinner and devotion on the last Sunday night of every month. The last Sunday night of this month, we're going to do the trunk retreat. We'll still have food prepared, and if it's not raining, that's an opportunity for you, if you want to participate, to decorate your car trunk. And, of course, non-scary. You know, don't want to scare any kids. And this is just something fun. Hand out some candy and maybe have a couple games and, again, eat. But if it does rain, we'll come back inside and have a time along those lines on the inside. And so it looks like it's going to be a great time for that. I do want to encourage the ladies. Ladies, if you have not attended the ladies' prayer brunch, I encourage you to do so. I've heard for a while that there hasn't been anything for the ladies. Well, we have something for the ladies. And I encourage you to come this coming up Thursday to the church fellowship hall. And the reason for this is, normally it's at Miss Marianne Sandvi's house, but the reason for this is so there will be no pressure of going to someone's personal place. So it's at the church. So come and be a part of that. It's a time of prayer for our church, but also it's a time of in eating. We put food with everything, don't we? But it's a time of eating, a time of fellowship and prayer for the church. And so please remember that. That'll be, again, this Thursday at 11 a.m. in the church fellowship hall. All right. Are you glad you came this morning? Say amen. All right. We dressed up. We got here. We're here. So we might as well get something out of it. Let us pay attention. Let everything else go. I do know for sure God has something to say this morning through music and through the message. And so let's just turn it off and tune into Him. Father, we love You today. Thank You for our visitors, Lord, how much that means to us. Lord, thank You for Calvary Children's Home that we love so much. So good to see their faces this morning. And Lord, we pray for all those on our prayer list. We mentioned several that's sick now, and we thank You for those You've touched that was sick. And Lord, we pray for those who are recovering from surgery. Father, there's many other prayer needs. There's things going on in people's lives that they don't feel at liberty to even talk about. There may be someone coming here this morning carrying a very heavy load, has a very heavy heart. Mentally, they're just distraught, unconnected. I pray today, God, that You'll touch them in a very, very mighty, mighty special and personal way. And Jesus, if there's one here this morning that does not know You personally, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. I pray that they would see and hear the gospel through the message this morning. And Father, let today be that special day. And for the Christian that's already saved, they know they're saved, but maybe they've been following from a distance, I pray they'll come back to the cross. And Lord, for everyone else, I pray that You'll just encourage hearts today, challenge and change us all. We love You today. We thank You in advance for what You're going to do, and we thank You for what You have done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page number 139. Page 139, and let's sing together At Calvary. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
This evening, and Brother David not feeling well today. I'm sure he probably won't even try to come back with us tonight, and we just pray the Lord just continue to have His hand upon him, and he'll be able to be back with us next week. But please remember Brother David in prayer, and again, no choir practice this evening, and we're right around the corner from trying to start getting ready for Christmas. It's hard to believe we are even mentioning that in an announcement, but it'll be upon us before we know it. So in the very near future, we'll be starting to work on some Christmas music, so please make that a matter of prayer. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and what a blessing it is to be able to be here. What a beautiful day the Lord are thankful for the crispness of the air this morning. And then on Brother Harold's behalf, go Dawgs, all right? But it is, maybe we'd been better off if we had just watched the Georgia game last night, I'm just saying. But we got to pull the braids out of this thing, okay? Again, enough of that. We'll talk about that after service. But let's pray the Lord just give us a great day. And we look forward to what the message of the Lord has for us this morning. And let's just ask the Lord to just to kind of clean our hearts and our minds out that we might be able to receive the word that when we leave this place, we can say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Please pray for all the prayer requests, all the announcements that have been spoken this morning. Now let's ask God's blessing on the offering. Father, we love you. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for the health, the strength, and the desire to be in your house this morning. Some are, Lord, on Facebook this morning. They're joining in. We thank you, Lord, for that avenue for those that can't be here with us today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them as well. Now, God, I pray that you would be with our pastor. Lord, I pray that you would hide him behind the cross. May he preach, thus saith the Lord. And again, may our hearts and minds be open to receive it. God, and I bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed at Calvary. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. Be with those that are sick and unable to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Not going to preach very much. Brian, would you come down, please? Pastor, would you come up, please? I don't know if everybody's aware or not, but this is Pastor Appreciation Day. We're honored to have these two guys as our pastors. Well, they're coming after the Bulldogs beat the Wildcats 51-13. Somebody in the stands held up a sign that says, "Don't bring a cat to a dog fight." Let me say something about these guys. I understand the calling on their lives. They're both preachers, they're both teachers, and it's a calling. Because when God calls you, he equips you to do the job he calls you to do.
Yes, sir.
First thing I think he does when he calls us, he gives us the love for the people. After that, I think he causes us to care about the people, to care about what they're going through, what they're facing. Next, I think it goes even deeper than that. I think he causes them to hurt when we hurt. I think it goes that deep. I understand their goals. Their idea is when they preach or teach, when they give an altar call, their desire is that anybody there that's not saved would come forward and get saved. Not only that, that those that might be there that's not right with God, their desire is that the people would come and make it right with God. Sometimes that happens. Sadly, most of the time it doesn't happen. When they get in their cars and leave here after preaching or teaching, the devil will get in the car with them. And he'll say to them, I've been there, I understand this. He'll say to them, I told you, you're wasting your time. I told you the people wouldn't listen to you. You might as well quit. I don't know how many Sundays I've got in the car and left here after teaching, and I quit. But if you have a calling, you know what you do. You get home church after church on Sunday night or Monday morning. You start praying and asking God to give you something for next Sunday. You can't quit. You can't do it. We're lucky to have these two guys. They love us. They pray for us. They care about us. They even hurt when we hurt. I think they deserve a standing ovation. I ask them to rise. I just dropped something. Brian, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I haven't said that to very many people. I made that. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. And I too am very thankful for these men that God has sent our way. Amen. It's a calling, but enable for it to be a calling, they must be willing to go. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everything that they do for us, for our young folks, and for all the church. I'm very thankful for it, and I know you are as well. Would you pray for the choir this morning, that we might sing a song that might bring glory to Him. It says, I found victory at the foot of the cross.
Against the law.
Randy to sing this, if he would, before I preach this morning. I'm glad that the Lord don't throw us away every time we slip and stumble. And he puts us back on his wheel and he keeps us going, molding us and making us to what he wants us to be. Again, just very thankful this morning that Jesus sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves. And appreciate Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Ceylon, for words that were expressed to me and Brother Brian. Hope I can live up to that. And that's my desire, at least, to be the best that I can be for God and you. My desire. desire is always to mature and grow and to always love you the way the Lord loves you. And so that's my continuing goal and desire. We just celebrated 5 years of you allowing us to be your pastor. And back in July and going into year number 6. And so we still feel good about it. And taking it day by day, we have ideas and goals, desires and aspirations for this church. And while it may appear at times that we're not getting that far ahead, we really are. There's been a lot done since we've started, and we give God praise for that. But also, yet, there's more grounds to cover. And so we want to do that. We want to keep moving forward. We are living in a time and an era where it's dark. It's dark, meaning it's dark spiritually. And people are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. There is a falling away occurring, and there will continue to be a falling away from the local church, from God, until Jesus comes. I believe Jesus is coming. If the world believes all their crazy Hollywood stuff, which is false, I believe what the Bible says, that Jesus is coming, and that's true. And so we're living during times where the pews may not be packed, but there again, we're living during a time where people don't want to hear the truth. There is a remnant that's after gospel truth, and I'm looking at the remnant this morning. If you didn't want to hear gospel truth and you didn't care what the truth was, you wouldn't be here. And same for those who are watching on Facebook, you wouldn't be listening or watching if you didn't want to hear gospel truth. So I thank God for you that are here, for those that are watching. And we settled it. We're just going to keep preaching truth as long as we're alive on planet Earth. And as long as God has us pastoring and preaching, we're going to continue to preach truth with love and loving people and loving God. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. This morning, I want to look at one verse, and that is verse number 28. 1 Chronicles 27, verse number 28. And I also want to publicly thank Brother Brian for leading not only the youth here at Calvary, but the work that he does at the home. For all of these numbers of years, thank you, brother. Your service attitude is contagious, and I appreciate you for being my friend personally and helping us along the way since we've been here. I just thank you for that so very much. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read one verse again. That is verse 28. Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. God, I'm totally dependent upon you this morning, more so than I ever have been. Father, I pray that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. Father, more than anything this morning, I pray for simplicity of truth. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would connect it to the hearers, the hearts of the people that are here and watching online. Lord, let us all be encouraged, let us be challenged, and let us be changed. If those three things can be accomplished this morning, Lord, I feel like that your goal would be accomplished. Encouraged, challenged, and changed. We love you today. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. And 1 Chronicles 27 verse number 28. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan the Gadarite. And over the sellers of oil was Joash. That's going to be our one verse this morning. And I want to say that in this chapter particularly, in verse number 25 through 34, we have a list of the officers that served in David's court. But also we have, along with the officers and their names that served in David's court, we have the duties that they carried out. So, being an officer in the king's court and having a duty in the king's court was a tremendous honor that the king, King David, would handpick some and say, I want you here, I want you here, I want you there. What an honor and a joy it must have been for these men to be chosen for certain spots in the king's court and with certain purposes along with that. This morning, in like manner, King Jesus has chosen us and called us for certain purposes. First and foremost, he has called everyone to salvation. That's the first objective in God's economy, is for a person to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, inheriting heaven, having their sins forgiven, purpose revealed. Number one, that's God's goal, is salvation. But second to that is service. He saves us so that we could serve Him and people. And what a blessing it is this morning for King Jesus to reach down and say that I want to save you and that I have a purpose for you. Amen. What an honor and joy to serve in the areas that He has called us. I like what Ephesians 2:10 says. Don't turn there, I'll give it to you. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. He didn't just save us to inherit the kingdom of heaven one day, but He saved us so that we can serve, that we should show forth good works, because God has ordained that. This morning, I want to look at this man, Joash, and his particular purpose that the king gave him, which was, he was a keeper of oil. So the title of the message this morning is, A Keeper of Oil. What was it about his job that was so thrilling? Or what is it that jumps out so much that it's worth talking about? Well, I want to share some things, some similarities, if I could, between Joash and his job and the church as we serve the Lord in our particular place. There's some similarities here. But not only similarities concerning the church in our own particular places that we serve, but also there's some similarities seen here in the place that God has you working at, secularly. The school God has you attending. The things that you do during the day that you know God has put you to work, to go to school, to do this and that. There's some similarities even with those things wrapped up in this verse about Joash being a keeper of oil. Number one this morning, I want us to look at the duty of his job. The duty of his job was to keep oil. Notice, if you would, again, the Bible says, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. And so King David put him in this position. He called him by name and he says, you're going to be in the cellar and you're going to be keeping the oil. So he was a keeper of oil in the cellar. What a job that must have been. Think about it. Down below, keeping up with oil. So it must have been a great job, but it was definitely an obscure job. So what about this oil this morning that he was keeping in the cellar? The oil, number one, he kept was used for, number one, for offerings. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about oil being used in offerings. But oil also was used for lamp fuel. Exodus 27 and verse number 20 mentions that there. Oil in the Bible was used for medicine. Luke 10, verse 34. It was used for many other things, cooking and cosmetics. So I believe the takeaway from this oil that Joash was over, the takeaway was that oil was very important. And so the duty of his job was to keep the oil, and the oil was kept for certain uses. But what about the oil symbolism? I'm sure you know where I'm going with this one. The oil symbolism, it represents the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this morning how we need the people of God to be keepers of oil in their life. We need Christians who walk in the Spirit, who follow the Spirit's leadership, etc. Now, no confusion, at salvation we receive the Holy Spirit. But what I'm talking about this morning, I'm talking about a daily, practical dependency on the Holy Spirit. Are we really dependent upon Him? Monday through Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Are we dependent upon Him? Or are we most dependent upon God during hardships only? Well, I believe the heart of God this morning is that we be keepers of oil. Those of us who are saved, be keepers of oil. Those that are not saved, to receive the oil. Nonetheless, we need Christians and churches to be Spirit-filled, to have that daily practical dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And so that's the oil symbolism, the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at the oil that, and it was kept for many reasons. That's the duty of his job, was to keep the oil. But number two, under that first point, the duty of his job was not just to keep the oil, but the duty of his job was to watch the oil. Watch the oil. Joash was to keep a watchful eye over the oil that none was stolen. Again, the Bible says, and over the sellers of oil was Joash. And so this was a job committed to him by the king. He was to be a watchman over the oil. Make sure nobody tried to steal the oil. Make sure nobody tried to destruct the vessels and of the oil was in. And all of those things, Joash was to keep a watchful eye over the oil. Can I say this morning, we also need to keep a watchful eye over our spiritual lives, that nothing or no one steals our oil, nothing or no one steals our joy, our peace, our harmony with God. Can I say this morning that the devil tries to steal our joy and contentment we have in Jesus? The devil is not your friend. The devil is not my friend. Never, ever, ever, ever try to bargain with Satan. He is not that kind of guy. He is rotten. He is the deceiver. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he will one day be in his own lake of fire. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because not your homeboy, but your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to guard our oil this morning. We've got to guard our families this morning. We've got to guard our kids. We've got to guard our grandkids, our friends, in the places that God has put us in. We must protect those things. We preached a while back on protecting your pea patch. Remember that? One of the servants of David, one of his men of war, he was placed in a certain land area. And what it was peas. It was lentils. And so he had to protect that, and he did. And so let us this morning not allow the devil to try to steal our joy and contentment we have in Jesus. Not only that, but circumstances will try to rob your joy. The situation you may be currently in that's not pleasing. You're in a time in your life where it's absolutely draining every day. You're stressed. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You've given the situation to God, but yet nothing has changed. You're still in the same chapter. Circumstances, if we're not careful, can steal, can harm, and can destroy us if we are not safe over guarding our oil. But what about our flesh? Listen, if it's not the devil, then it's circumstances. And if it's not circumstances, it's me. It's me. It's not you. It's not my neighbor, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I need prayer this morning. You need prayer, because if it ain't the devil on one hand, circumstances on the other hand, it's my own stinking rotten flesh trying to be contrary to the things of God. Every day I wake up, Brother Harold, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, oh, it's you again, huh? I said, guess what? You ain't going to control this day, Mr. Hales. And I already see my day. I know me. I'm used to me. I know how I respond under pressure. I know how I respond when I'm happy. And so when I'm looking in the mirror at myself every day, I'm seeing how each day could go. And I sell it right here, right then and there. And I say, Lord, I'm dependent upon you today. I don't want to blow it like I did yesterday. I don't want to make a fool of myself like I did last week. I don't want to say something that's wrong. I don't want to be mean to somebody, express anger to anyone. I want to follow you, and I want to receive your very best today. God, my flesh is rotten. I don't seek after you, Lord. It's the Spirit in me that does. My flesh wants to go after worldly things. So, God, I'm dependent upon you. And so that's the place that we need to get to, that I need to get to. It's keeping a watch over the oil that we have, the joy and the love for God, and how He has positioned us and given us purposes to walk and live it. The families we have, listen, even the finances, and you're able to pay your bills and things are getting done from one week to the next. There's food on the table. All of those things, the devil, circumstances in the flesh want to ruin. Watch your oil. Joab's duty number two was to be a watcher of his oil. He was to be a keeper of the oil. But there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the duty of his job, but the disadvantages of his job. What about that this morning? The disadvantages of... What do you mean disadvantages? It was unnoticed. Joash and his job, it was a type of set up where he served in the cellar. His job wasn't up here where it's noticeable. His job was down here where it's not so noticeable. King David had men up there, but King David also had men down there. In both jobs, in every other area that he mentions, are all important jobs. They all were called to serve the king. Their devotion was to the king. But just so happens, where his job was located, it was out of the eye of man. It was unnoticed. Everyone else had some type of recognition, I'm sure, with their jobs. But Joash was in the bottom. He was patrolling the oil. He was patrolling the petroleum. back and forth and watching, making sure nobody came in and stole it. That was his job, in obscurity, serving his king. He got zero recognition during his tenure. However, he was faithful to his king. He served his king. In fact, his king, there was recognition, we're reading it this morning, of his job in the Bible. He got this recognition eventually. But during that time, there was no recognition. He toiled in obscurity. No recognition, but he did what he did for the king. Let us this morning do what we do, not for man or the applause of man, but for God. Sometimes there will not be applause from man, but there will always be applause from God, because God is looking not for talent. He's not looking for ability. He's not even looking for a successful ministry. God is looking for faithfulness. And I believe we all can participate in that area of being faithful. So we see he was down below. But this morning, I'm glad that God sees us, even if we have a job or we're serving him out of the watchful eye. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Jesus, this morning, he sees you're working, whether it's in a church setting or down at Home Depot or at the schoolhouse. He sees you're working. He sees you're laboring. He knows you're toiling. He knows about your tears. He knows about the ups. He knows about the downs. And while man may not notice what you're going through, God notices what you're going through. And I want to say, there's coming a day of reward for that. Lord is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. That we showed to his name as we serve the church and as we minister. God has not forgotten. The king called us to our positions. Therefore, we do what we do for him, even if it goes unnoticed. God knows this morning. And let me just say this. If you're thinking about quitting an area in ministry, or you're thinking about quitting at a job, or quitting even a school, college, whatever the situation may be, if God has you there, don't quit. You may be unappreciated and go unnoticed. You may be at a place of obscurity, but don't quit. We need people who will stay when it's tough. We need people who can be inspirations to everyone else that, hey, you know that God called you somewhere. It's rough, it's tough, but I'm staying. That's inspiring to the rest of us. Keep going. So, the disadvantage of his job, it was unnoticed, but also it was uncomfortable. He stayed in a cellar. A cold, damp, deserted, if you would, dungeon. But he stayed unnoticed, uncomfortable. But he knew the king called him there. Stay put this morning. Although it may be uncomfortable, unless God has given you an urge in your soul and your mind, he has impressed on you, closed every door but a door out, stay. Every assignment of God isn't always pleasant, you know. God calls us to certain tasks because he has faith in us that we will continue and complete those tasks. If you're going through a tough patch right now in ministry or at your job, wherever, it's because God has trusted you with that. And he knows that you'll get through it. He has a purpose for you in that. He has trusted you with that unpleasant place, but he knows that you're going to get through it and fulfill your purpose, or he wouldn't have called you to do it. He trusted Paul with the thorn, didn't he? Anybody else with that thorn may have said, "Oh, Lord, it's so painful. It hurts so bad. If you don't remove this thorn, I'm gone. I'm not serving you anymore." That wasn't Paul. He asked the Lord three times, as anybody would. And on the third time, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." God gave Paul staying power. He gave him the ability to not quit and give up. You're serving the Lord this morning. You're at some area of service, working a job somewhere, and you want to give up, you want to quit. Just pray for staying power. Staying power. It was uncomfortable. And so God calls us to certain tasks because He has faith in us, even unpleasant tasks. Our obedience in those unpleasant places shows our faith in God. So it's a relationship of faith. It's a relationship of trust. We are called, the Bible says, to deny ourselves and obey the Lord. Matthew 16:24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If someone told you once upon a time that if you get saved and all your problems go away, that was just hogwash. I'm sorry. Garbage. Oh, if you get saved and trust the Lord, all your problems gonna go away. That's not Bible. You trust the Lord as your Savior. One day you'll go to heaven. He'll give you a purpose on earth. But at the same time, you will soon quickly learn that you got to be dependent upon Him or your life will never amount to nothing. When Paul first got saved, struck with blindness, God, He called Ananias to come over and heal him. He says, "I got to show him," or basically what the scripture says is, "He has a lot of suffering to do for my namesake." Ananias went over and touched him, gave him the message. And so the Christian life is the blessed life. And I said it before, I'll say it again, that a bad day now as a Christian is far better than a good day back when I was lost. Amen. There is no comparison. A bad day now, a bad, very horrible, no good, very bad day now is so much better than waking up without Jesus, on my way to hell, no education, no money, no car, nothing, just stuck at my grandmother's house, hung over from drinking alcohol the night before. A bad day now is so much better than a good day then. Amen. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Christian life is not hard. The way of the transgressor, that lifestyle is hard. The way of the Christian who is backsliding is hard. You can't serve two masters. You want to cling to the one and hate the other. There's no cowboy fence riders. You want to fall to one side. And so selling out to Jesus is the way to go. That's what we ought to do. And so it was uncomfortable. And we're called to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. Not only it was unnoticed, uncomfortable, but it was lonely. It was lonely down there in that cellar. Sometimes the Lord's work is lonely work. Brother Selon mentioned a moment ago, he himself had times of getting in the car and going home and wondered if, you know, the message, the lesson that he shared even helped anybody. Did he teach the right lesson? Did the lesson fall on deaf ears? Devil gets on the shoulder, just quit. And he's right. Devil's told me that plenty of times. I'm sure told Brother Brian plenty of times. The devil will get on anybody's shoulder who's on the firing line and try to get you to quit. It's what he'll do. And these times, these are lonely times, because just everybody doesn't understand the life of a pastor, preacher, teacher, deacon. I mean, you're carrying the load. And while it is a tremendous joy and honor to serve in these areas, truth be known, it gets lonely at times. That's a whole other message, is that us preachers and pastors and teachers, we've got to guard ourselves. We've got to guard ourselves from the attacks of the devil, because loneliness can end up ruining your testimony. King David was on the rooftop one night when he should have been at battle. Whatever reason, he stayed. And he looked, saw Bathsheba. He lingered. He lusted. And he failed. One preacher said one time, those serving in the ministry ought not to be an island to themselves. Be in connection with people. Be involved. I'm preaching to me this morning as well. Don't make yourself an easy target for Satan. Sometimes ministry is lonely, but even sometimes working a regular job out there in the city somewhere is lonely. Sometimes being a student at school is lonely. Why? Because you're trying to achieve your purpose, get that education, draw that paycheck, do whatever it is you're doing, and just sometimes the going gets tough and it gets lonely. But when you get lonely, don't retreat. Connect. Well, Brother Justin, I just want to text you this morning, let you know that I'm not going to be there. I had a rough week. And you know, most of the time I'm like, well, I'm just praying for you. Sorry about that. You know, because evidently they're feeling bad at the moment. I'm not trying to capitalize on them feeling bad and say, well, you ought to go to God's house, which is true. But I'll wait a little while, and I'll call them, him or her, and say, how's things going? Well, I don't know. I'll be back to church when I get it all together. Well, you might as well just go ahead and say you'll never be back to church, because none of us are going to ever have it all together and be at a place where we're ready to come to church, where most people say, I just feel so unworthy to come to church. Well, did that just dawn on you? I'm so unworthy to preach. Are you kidding me? God has a sense of humor. Why in the world would he put me in the pastorate and preaching? I'll tell you why, because he sees something in me that I don't see in me. He sees something in you that you don't see in you. What we need to do is get over our feeling of unworthiness and be thankful. I think the cross is over there somewhere. And be thankful for the cross of Calvary that washed away our sins. Get over ourselves, connect with people, and be encouraged. He was lonely, but then, again, as I said a moment ago, being unnoticed but unappreciated. Others must have mocked Joash at times and asked, why are you still keeping that old oil? Well, I wouldn't have a job like that. I'd just quit and leave. People will not always understand you and what you do in life. And there is a large group of people who do not appreciate what you do, yet they have their opinion, they have their say-so, and they will tell you, you ought to just quit and leave. You ought to do something else. We need more appreciators than complainers. If you see somebody that's struggling in life, in church, out of church, be an encourager to that person. Don't encourage them to quit. Don't encourage them to quit. Say, hey, you've got this. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. We got a lot of naysayers in our world today. So people, they don't always appreciate you. Some will even try to discourage you and get you to quit. He was unappreciated. That was a disadvantage of his job. He was lonely. He was uncomfortable. He was unnoticed. But let me mention something else, and then I'll be through. My last point. The first point was the duty of his job. The second point, the disadvantages of his job. But number three, the duration of his job. The duration. lot of this, you've got to read between the lines. The duration of his job. Joash had to stay and chose to stay until otherwise notified by the king. We don't read where King David said, Joash, you're at liberty to go. Have a blessed afternoon. Service starts at 5 o'clock tonight. No. The king never notified Joash his job was done. And so this morning I say, let us stay put, serving God where he has put us until notified otherwise by our king. A lot of times we want to quit. A lot of times we want to leave. A lot of times we want to change churches. A lot of times we want to do this. A lot of times we want to go to different school. We want a different job. They pay more. They don't pay as much over here, but it's a better work environment. We want to do this. We want to do that. Question is, has God told you to leave? Has God told you to change jobs? Has God told you to quit that school? What has God told you? Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what God thinks. And the last time I checked, King Jesus hadn't came back yet and relieved any of us from our jobs. We do know that he does dismiss and change courses until he comes back with our jobs. He changes courses for us, changes directions. We know that happens from time to time. Just make sure that the king has notified you and you're not acting on impulse. Let us be a proactive Christian and not a reactive Christian. We preached about that last Sunday night, about the word gentleness. Do you know God wants us to be gentle? Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness can only be seen or had by yielding to the Spirit's control. And a lot of times when we're not gentle, it's because we are reacting to a situation. We're not being proactive. If we express gentleness, we are receiving that from the Holy Spirit, but we already have thought about how we're going to react. In any given situation, we're going to be gentle because it feels natural to be gentle because the Holy Spirit's in control, but we're going to be gentle because we don't want things to go bad. Let us stay put. Be faithful till God calls you home. So the duration of his job was to stay put, but let me say this and I'm done. Don't stop while staying put. Don't stop while staying put. A lot of these points are similar, but they have a little different meaning. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, don't turn there. I've had you hear the whole message, and we're going to stay here. We're about to close. Sanballat and Tobiah tried their best to get Nehemiah and his men off of that wall that they were rebuilding. They wanted to stop the work. These enemies mocked and ridiculed Nehemiah and his men. But he prayed to God for help. And I'll say it again, and stay in power. Stay in power. He asked God to intervene to keep him on that wall and stay. The enemy tried to get him off. He asked from God power to stay. And what happened? He stayed. In fact, one hand had a hammer, the other hand had a sword. And that is the Christian life. That's life in general. We can't just fight and not build. We can't just build and not fight. We've got to fight and build at the same time. But we do that by the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. We do that by the oil. The oil. And so, the message about the oil this morning basically has two pictures. One, it pictures the Holy Spirit, but also it pictures that particular place you're serving in or working. Those two objectives. Stay on the wall. Stay working. Stay serving until the king notifies you otherwise. Pray for stay in power. Don't stop while staying put. Let us stay put. The duration of his job, that was to the king called him out otherwise. The disadvantages of his job, the duty of his job. Listen, Joash was a keeper of wool. And let that be our objective too, is to just stay where God has us unless he's notified otherwise. And let us allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Jesus, we thank you today for the message. I pray, Lord, that something was said that might be a help to your people this morning. Give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The altar is open. Nobody's looking, laughing, or pointing. If you need to come, you come.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Anybody else on the first verse? Would you come?
Thou art.
Feel free to come. Anybody need to do business with the Lord this morning? Singing another verse. You have time to come.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master.
That'd be enough this morning. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for coming this way, and hope you received something from the music and the message that has helped you today. It may be for you for some day down the road. But at any rate, we appreciate the nice gesture this morning from the church. Thank you so much. And I want to encourage you to meet us back tonight if you can, 5 o'clock, no choir practice. And got a different subject we'll be speaking on tonight. And looking forward to that. And I do want to tonight just take a few moments and cover some things about the yard sale. I mentioned some things Wednesday night, but I do want to share some things tonight. It won't be long, maybe a minute or two. And if anybody has any questions, we'll do that kind of thing briefly, either before or after the service, probably after. But we do have something we want to share that I think will be a help at 5 o'clock. And then we will talk about the yard sale so that we're all on the same page with that. I do believe it'll be a success, and it's a great opportunity as well. Anybody else? Anything to mention before we close? All right. Well, everyone be safe and have a great afternoon. And I'm going to ask Brother Allen, would you close us out?
Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity we've had to be in your house this morning. Lord, thank you for the message and the messenger. Lord, I pray that now, Lord, we take that to heart. Lord, that we would be a good keeper of the oil. And God, I pray again that you would just be with us through the day. Bring us back safely to your house this evening. Be with those that are unable to be here with us today. Some traveling, some just not feeling well. God, I pray that you would bring everyone back. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us a great service this evening as well. In Jesus' name.